Hello, and welcome back to the Hawkins Hellfire Collective. I'm Devin Grubb.
I'm Zach Grubb.
And today we are discussing season three as a whole. This is our retrospective
Our
episode.
season three retrospective with special guest star.
And today we have a special guest. He's been on every wrap-up episode, my brother, Matt Pashuk. Say hello.
Hello. Hello, hello, everybody. Now, when you say
So I think we should get this.
I'm sorry, I
Oh,
have to
sorry.
say this. You said season three as a whole. Are you implying that it's like a whole in the series, or do you mean with a W?
No, with a
With a
W, all of the
Okay. All right.
episodes.
I just feel like I need to defend season three at all times. I'm sorry.
That was my next statement was going to be that it was fitting that we needed to have you on for this one since it's your favorite season.
Indeed, it is.
Yeah, I was gonna warn our audience that you're one of them who thinks season three is like top tier.
Ugh. Ugh, don't isolate us.
I
We're
mean,
very proud people.
I will say that after rewatching it, we have better opinions
Oh,
on
absolutely.
it. We
Did
think
you have
higher
fun? Did you have
of
fun with
it.
it?
Do we have fun with it?
I had more fun than I remember having the first go around, but it had just as many frustrations.
I
Yeah,
guess
I mean,
I guess I'll accept that.
I had fun with it in the sense that I was doing all of the tie-in work, and that was really cool, seeing how things tied together between season three and season four.
Totally. And I had a lot of fun with the monsters in this season. The monsters were top tier in season three.
Yeah, the whole hospital sequence is just like, whoa, man. So good.
Yeah, that's.
Chef's kiss. It is inc yeah, that is incredible. That is one of the best bits of the entire season.
And that's your favorite monster, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just like the two of them?
The hospital monster was my favorite monster in the show so far.
Huh.
It was hideous. It was disgusting. It had no discernible shape aside from whatever it felt like morphing into at the moment. It was this giant fleshy lump of horror that was not beholden to the rules of any of the previous creature designs in this
Yeah.
show. It was great.
So like
No.
fleshy and gross.
Yeah. And like you knew what the you had an idea of what the Mind Flayer was going to look like in its flesh form because we've seen the Mind Flayer in its smoke form. And the design of like the fleshy monster is like the fleshy smoke monster is great, but it's still essentially just the smoke monster with a body.
Yeah.
And that's why I loved that thing in the hospital sequence because it's so foreign to anything else Stranger Things has done.
It's separate from the fleshy smoke monster because it's the two of them.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
it just becomes this creature that can chase after them with no like I don't need to be shaped like this thing. I'm just going to be a monster.
Can pop up anywhere.
Oh, yeah. So we had some th thoughts about the should we, like let's talk about like characters.
Okay.
All
Where
right.
do we want to start? And
Let's.
let's not start with the person I think you're going to say we should start.
I was gonna start with the Russian Terminator.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a fun one.
What are your thoughts
Very
on the
good.
Russian Terminator, and do you know who we're talking about?
That's the doctor, right?
The machine. No.
No.
No,
No, the
what's his
Russian
face? Murray?
No, the
No,
guy who's chasing Hopper the entire season.
who's chasing Hopper. He like
Oh my
randomly
God.
shows up and
Yes.
he's very Terminator-esque.
Yeah, he
For
looks
no
like
reason.
he reminds me of the one henchman from Beer Fest. The one guy that I don't know
I
if you
know
guys have seen him.
exactly who you're talking
The
about.
guy who just looks like the Chad meme. Yeah. I completely forgot about him. Oh my God, fake fan of season three.
He is the dumbest thing about the season.
Like
Yeah. Repressed him. I repressed him.
I had said in like one of our other episodes, like this season takes place in 1985, and Terminator took place like came out in 1984. So chances are a lot of people who in Hawkins have probably seen it, and this dude is just like stalking around, and nobody
like dressed as Arnold Schwarzenegger with his haircut.
Yeah, and nobody's and, like, concerned.
Clearly open carrying a gun.
Right.
Nobody has anything to say. Nobody's just like, oh, hey, it's the Terminator. What are you doing here? Like, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. It's so surreal. And like all of the other Russian operatives walking around Hawkins, it's like they're wearing coats, like they're hiding their weapons. They look like people who can slip into the shadows. Then this guy is just full Arnold. Just what the hell?
I'm trying to think. What year did the Terminator come out?
84.
Yeah,
it was 84, and this season takes place in 1985. That's why I was said like that's... people had to have seen it.
I don't know why I was thinking it was seven, but yeah, that's crazy. Somebody should have at least like said something, you know?
Right?
Yeah, nobody notices the dude.
You know he kills Alexei in the middle of a freaking
in broad daylight.
No, it's not broad daylight. It's at a carnival. Okay,
in broad carnival light.
The middle of a carnival, and he shoots him, and nobody.
Yep.
Nobody says anything. Nobody does anything. Like, yeah. It's just, okay.
He didn't even really do it quietly. Like, yeah, he had a silencer, but like... He
pulled the weapon in the middle of a crowd of people. And nobody was like, oh my god, that guy's got a gun.
And I liked him. I don't care what anybody says. He was great.
Oh,
Alexei?
Yeah,
Alexei?
With his little 7-Eleven.
Alexei was fantastic.
Yeah.
We're big fans of Alexei here.
Yeah, very good.
We're fans, yeah.
No, I don't have a single note on Alexei.
Yeah, we didn't have anything bad to say about Alexei. He's not one of the, you know, the character deaths where I'm just like, no, we liked Alexei and Alexei deserved better. He just wanted his freaking corn dog.
That's all he wanted.
He wanted to enjoy the American life.
The culture.
And wasn't able to.
Quick aside, while we're still on the Russian Terminator thing, though, it bothers me that Murray would be so lackadaisical about protecting this dude. Let's go to the carnival. Yeah. That seems very out of character for Murray, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, the man who metal detects anybody who comes into his home.
Yeah.
Like, he's got, like, security checkpoints everywhere, and he's just like, yeah, let's go to the 4th of July carnival. Let's win you a prize and get some corn dogs.
You can't speak English, but I'll leave you there to play some carnival games.
He definitely would not have allowed him to cut that loose. Like, this Russian man.
Yeah. Still the best.
But, like, okay, so Russian Terminator, it doesn't matter how many times Hopper kicks the shit out of him. Like, he just doesn't go down. And then in their final fight, it's like, oh, he's got the upper hand. He got him. And it's like, okay, but he had the upper hand so many times. Like, I don't even care that they're fighting anymore. We talked about this in our episode on episode 8. But when the alarms are going off, mm-hmm. and this guy arrives at the Russian base, and everyone's losing their shit, everyone's evacuating because the alarms are going off, and like this could be a nuclear meltdown from their machine.
Right.
And he's like, it's the American. I'm gonna go get him.
He's an angry robot man. What more do you want from him?
He had no reason to think that Hopper had anything to do with it.
That's his target.
He had no reason to think that Hopper and Joyce were anywhere near the Russian base.
He was not using his little Terminator eye.
You don't do it.
He didn't know where his target was.
From Mother Russia. That's all he's thinking.
If this blast is going to end the base, I need to go down with the ship. I'm going to the control room.
The wall that is that brain, man. There is no reasoning with it. He's just going to kill his target. He's a Russian assassin. I love how Terminator he is. I can support that.
It's just so funny. He's so out of place with everything that this show is.
It seems like that was just their homage to like 80s like Terminator, Commando, whatever. But
well, they fit as many bizarre movies as they possibly could into this season.
Totally.
Yeah.
A lot of pop.
Like, I mean, off the top of my head, Terminator, Back to the Future, Neverending Story.
Well, Back to the Future, they were actually...
They literally went to see Back to the Future.
They were going to see it. It was out around that time.
But, like, while they were watching the movie, they had a scene where they were trying to talk over the walkies, and the walkies were cutting out, and they had the music from Back to the Future in the scene where they're trying to talk on the walkies.
Well, that was because he was at the
movies. I know, but, like, that was all intentional.
Yeah, there was a reason for it. It's not like it was just like, let's put some Back to the Future music in the background. Like, there was a reason. Yeah,
it belonged. It made sense.
I'm not saying it wasn't clever.
We're literally talking about Stranger Things, you know? You can't get mad at, ooh, reference, I don't know.
Oh, I'm not mad at references.
Did other seasons do references to stuff besides,
not,
like,
that's the B&D? Thing. Not that blatant.
So, yes. E.T.
E.T.
Season 1.
Very E.T. true. Was a big one. You're right.
With bikes. The bikes, and when she flips the car, mm-hmm. like, that's very much E.T.
Yeah.
I can't say...
Well, then speaking of references for this season, like, I'm going to bring it up mm-hmm. because it's... I feel like it's... I don't even know how people feel about it or how you guys necessarily feel about it. Is it good or is it cringe, the Neverending Story sequence?
We talked about this.
I would like to go...
It was good. It was good, and then it went on a little bit too long.
Yeah. That part, that bit, in our opinion, mm-hmm. is too long. Like, it was cute... To start, like, oh, let's sing the song together. Okay. So sing a little bit of the song.
It's the entire song.
Not the whole thing. They do the whole thing, and it's that, I get, like, secondhand embarrassment a little bit watching it. Because I'm like, oh, you can stop, please.
And there's too many things happening at the same time. Like, too many important things that we care about happening at the same time. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It does take up a lot of time.
And it's like...
Yeah, that's my only complaint.
Yeah, it's too long. If they had cut it off in order to get back to what was actually happening, like, about halfway through what they actually did, I think they would have gotten their point across perfectly fine. It mm-hmm. would have been a great gag. It would have been enjoyable. Then we could have gotten back to what was actually happening.
They literally could have done, like, one verse, and then the chorus, and then done that shot where, like, their fists are in the air, and then just ended it. Like, just cut
it
down.
Everybody would have understood.
Yeah. It's long enough. That's
we
like
know,
a minute.
We get it.
Yeah, but it's like 3 minutes of it.
Yeah,
it's like, okay.
Way too much.
But what's happening at the mall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on?
We've got a flesh monster that's, like, gone back and forth from the mall twice now. I want, like, let's do this.
Like, I get it, Dustin. You can sing, but please stop.
Theater kids. Okay.
Well, they are theater kids.
Yeah.
Because she is, too.
I know.
They're all little Broadway babies.
Yeah.
Side note, he's in Sweeney Todd right now.
Oh, is he? Cool. Who's he playing?
Yeah. Yeah, he's playing Toby.
Oh, poop. That's amazing. Is...
Yeah, the new...
And what's his face? He's playing Sweeney Todd.
Josh Groban.
Yeah. Oof. Interesting. Interesting.
I want... Ooh.
Our mother's
I want to see that.
I can't imagine how he would pull that off. His voice isn't very theatric, I don't think.
He actually has been in a couple of Broadway shows.
He was in a big one.
He was
back.
In.
Yeah, so you're not speaking my language.
The Great Comet
so
of 1812. Sorry,
no, you're
CC.
Good.
Now we started talking about theater, and I'm going
to
go off.
No, I want to see Josh Groban try to be menacing. That's something I want to see on him.
Yeah. Well, apparently, like, his manager was like, "You should do this," and he was like, "Okay." I don't know.
Good for that's him. The most interesting story I've ever heard.
Yeah. No, that's hey, good for him. You know what? Stranger Things on but Broadway. Like, when? That's what I'm saying.
But I
only
like...
a matter of time. There's a stage show happening.
Yeah.
Why?
Did you hear about that?
How? Why?
Did it's, you hear this? A... Do you know this?
Did you hear about
was
this?
It in,
did you
see was it in the papers? I didn't read it.
It's a prequel.
Yeah, it's like a prequel. It's only going to be in London for like, what, like 3 days?
I wouldn't be surprised if they record it for a Netflix special or something, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's supposed to take place before everything. Like right when... Henry Creel's family comes to Hawkins, correct?
But like young Hopper and young
Joyce.
Yeah,
but Joyce and Hopper are going to be in high school during it and stuff. What? So it's like a, It's a prequel to everything.
But it's just a stage play.
I would just
not
be curious.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's just a stage play. It's not a musical. I'd be curious to see like what.
Yeah, what are they going to do?
What are they going to do with that?
How is it going to be interesting?
Right?
Yeah. I guess delving more into...
Is it going to be more like upside down stuff, but like something happens that completely wiped their memory, so that's why they don't remember?
Well, presumably it's pre-upside down.
I think it's pre... Yeah, because okay. this is when Henry Creel, so when Vecna and his family get to Hawkins, so he's a little kid.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, like, how are you going to do the supernatural element? Like way before, but that I guess it would have to be pretty Vecna centered.
Yeah, so I think it's gonna dive into like his life,
him using his powers on animals, I guess.
Yeah, before he killed his family and Brenner took him in, basically.
All right.
So could be interesting.
Could be.
Tangent. Okay.
Yeah.
Back to season three.
So, we were talking characters.
We had some new characters this season.
Yep.
How about we talk about Robin?
Robin.
I like her in this season.
I am of the opinion that she's...
Let's hear from you on Robin.
Me?
Yeah. Your thoughts? Because I know you really like her this season.
I like her this season. You know, she's like... At first, she kind of pissed me off a little bit because, like, you know... Usually, like, the sassy girl character, sometimes they overdo it, and it's, like, too annoying. And it's just like, no, stop. Like, this is too much. But I feel like she was, like, just right. And then I love her moments with Steve. They're awesome. But I don't know. For some reason in season four. But no, we're not talking about season four. We're talking about season three. She's just...
No, I think it's good to bring up, though, because I feel like we actually have the same complaint on the character.
Like, she has the perfect amount of quirk and actual, like... character development in this season. Like, she feels like a person that's just a little quirky and has some sass, whereas like in season four it just seems like they turned her into like a Zooey Deschanel clone. And I'm not saying Zooey Deschanel is an actress, I mean like what Zooey Deschanel became as like a playing the same thing and everything, like, and that frustrates me. I don't know,
she's all quirk and no depth.
Shallow.
I feel like they realized they were pairing her up with Nancy, and they were like, okay, well, we can't have two very competent characters.
Yeah.
And we're not going to make Nancy ditzy, so we're going to play with Robin's personality a little.
Yeah.
And it didn't
way
work.
Too ditzy. Too much. What do you think, Devin? Do you think she, same thing, like, downfall?
Yeah, that's what I said. That's why I said she's, like, all quirk and no depth. Yeah. There's, it's just, you know, the... She's almost there for like the comedy element at times, and
you
know,
and it's like you've already got Dustin,
right? She does. She doesn't bring a lot of what she brought to the table in season three. In season four,
yeah, like the one big moment where she steps up in season four is when they're talking to that guy at the mental hospital, and she's like nervous and like jittery energy, and it's like, do you remember last season when you were getting tortured by Russians?
Literally.
Spitting in their face.
I was saying, you spit in a Russian's face before you were even getting tortured. Like, before they were getting tortured, she spit in his face.
Yeah, she was kind of a badass in this season. And then, oh my...
What
really did it in for me in season four, you know, spoiler alert, when she picks up the music box or whatever. It's like, I forget what exactly she says, but she's like, oh my god, look, it dances! Or like something like that. And it's like...
Yeah, like, oh, there's a little ballerina in there. Like, yeah, no shit.
What?
Like, if they decided she was going to be full ADD.
Right. Yeah. Like, season three Robin would have beat the shit out of that Robin at that moment. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. And that's not to talk shit on characters who, like, have that personality type. It just...
It needs a balance.
It's an out-of-left-field change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't like if we're looking at like a Pixar movie or something, that makes sense. I don't know. I feel like that there's already so much quirk with the show that having a character that's just like all quirk, no depth. I guess that's the phrase of the episode. it's just like it just completely takes me out of it.
Like I'd venture to say Argyle had more depth in season four.
That's, you know,
We don't say bad things about my boy Argyle.
I'm not. That's not what I'm saying.
I absolutely kind of hate Argyle, but the more I think about him, the more I hate him. But I still love him. Like it's kind of just like a oof. I don't know. But we can't talk about him either.
Well, that little group needed someone because
yeah,
everyone in that group was. Having it.
The California crew was just
They were struggling.
I more so just don't like him because he kind of wrecked Jonathan as a character, I feel like. It's not directly his fault.
Jonathan wrecked Jonathan as a character. Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can go on for hours about the
But Jonathan good stuff, segue. But... Let's talk about Jonathan in season 3.
Oh, they do have that like I think you were on this episode.
Yeah, we talked about the argument.
Where we talked about their argument or whatever. And he called her out.
Yeah.
For being.
I think I landed on.
Sassy pants.
I think I landed on. I'm 50-50, but I kind of lean a little towards Jonathan. I don't know. I'm so wishy-washy on this.
Well, because he's not.
He's not wrong.
Yeah. But, like, neither is she.
Like.
No, neither one of them are wrong. They're both right in what they're saying, but they're wrong in how they're going about it.
Well, like I would argue that he's right because he is absolutely correct that Nancy assumes that she should immediately be taken seriously no matter what situation she is in because she is the authority, right. Even if she, you know, just started the job yesterday. So like calling her out for that is not wrong. Mm-mm. It's a bit of a reality check that, like, hey, you're not always going to be the authority on every time you walk into a room.
Right.
She's right, but, like, expecting everyone to believe that she is right is kind of insane.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like...
And for her to think that...
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, I was going off of what Zach was saying. Like, for her to think that she can just walk into... a room of all these, you know, middle-aged male writers who have been working at this newspaper for years and be like, oh, story? Yeah. And it's like, you're a high school,
do you know where you
you're
are?
A high school right. intern working at a male-driven newspaper. Do you really think you're going to get anywhere? It's 1985.
We're not saying this is right.
No, I'm not saying it's right, but like...
But like, what did you expect?
Seriously. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
She's kind of like work sucks, and he's like, I know, and that's
how did I know you were going to do
that's,
that?
And that's it.
It's true though.
I'm sure at some point to make up for their argument, he had to buy her roses and leave them on the stairs.
Oh, Prizes, God. Let me know she cares.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yes, we like Blink 182.
Not anymore.
So. I think that's okay. I understand.
But Jonathan actually in the hospital scene is pretty great.
Oh yeah.
Survive.
He should have been dead. Yeah. He really should
He's
have
pretty
been
pretty badass,
dead.
I'm not gonna lie.
It was nice to see him. Yeah, it was nice to see him really fight back.
The next episode, he doesn't even have a limp.
I know, and it looked like they broke his spine.
Like, the man had his spine cracked in, like, four different places, and the next episode, he's standing up, like, at the kitchen counter, like, I'm fine.
Talking
Dude,
about,
your ribs are busted.
Talking about Russian Terminator. What's up with Jonathan here?
He's the Hawkins Terminator.
Well, I think now is the perfect time to bring up a very special character. That causes a lot of disagreement between the two of you in this season.
Joyce.
Our good old pal Hoppity Hops. Mm. Let's talk about Hopper.
Matt, you can start.
Well,
I've made my thoughts abundantly clear in every episode before this. I want to hear you.
I don't know. You're still going to disagree with me. I just feel like this.
Maybe not entirely. Well, I definitely came around on a bunch of stuff rewatching
you
the
said,
season.
Am I wrong? Correct me if I'm wrong here. You said, like, okay, he starts off completely out of character and just intolerable up until his redemption moment with the mayor or whatever. The episode where him and Joyce start investigating and shit. Like, am I with you so far there? That was like your biggest thing? Like, he's so out of character.
Yeah, he is Hopper for like one episode.
One episode.
He kind of fluctuates back and forth after that. Okay. After that, he fluctuates back and forth.
Is like the, oh, this is Hopper. And then we only get little sparkles or little splashes of that for the rest of the season.
I mean, more than little splashes. I think just whenever he feels the need to be like a little bitch boy and argue with Joyce, it's grating.
I don't know, man. He always seemed kind of silly in that aspect. You know what I mean? Like, Joyce always had the upper hand. He's kind of just a little boy at heart. I don't know. As heroic as he is, I totally see him going that route.
I'm thinking back to like season one when Joyce is telling him what's going on and he's not believing her. He's not being this like big bombastic, I'm gonna argue with you, dude. He's just like, look, I'm doing everything I can and I don't believe what you're saying, but I'll look into stuff. And then when she's finally right, he's like, okay, I'm completely on board. What's our next move? And that's how their dynamic has worked.
It also just seems like whenever like work needs to be done, or like whenever he needs to be a badass, that's when like he kind of shines the most. But in like little instances where he's arguing with Joyce, or like the beginning of the season when he's a little bit annoying with Mike and Eleven, like I can see that being annoying and him being oafish. But like, you know, he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt, which I realize isn't a solid counter argument. But I feel like you can only be so stern and heroic when you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt. So that's what I'll say. He's just being very laid back. But I don't know. I think he's just like, it's like when it comes to the basic things of like being a parent, being a good husband, boyfriend, man, whatever he is with Joyce, it's like he kind of fails. And so the only way to do that without it being like sad or tragic is to make him oafish or silly. And I don't think that overstays its welcome. And I think those little bits where you feel like OG Hop later on and throughout the season where he's actually getting shit done, especially in season four, like he's nothing but badass Hop, I think, season four.
Oh, no, he's completely himself.
Yeah, it's in like season I four. Think this season, the what I would say would be where you would say it's the opposite. I think we get little bits of non-Hop this season, and I accept them. Whereas you see it more as just like, no, Hop's being weird this season, and we get little bits of him. I don't know. I feel like we just see it totally different.
I mean, I feel like if you're going to write the character in that way, you can't just dump that all into one season of the show and not even have any kind of allusions to this is how he is as a person throughout your first two seasons or even the season following that, because that means you didn't commit.
Well, yeah, like that's a whole, I feel like that would be a whole separate argument, is just like, yeah, committing to a character.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, the fourth season almost makes it worse because we went back to who Hopper was.
It makes it seem way, like, darker and brooding than it should be, almost.
I mean, to an extent, yeah. But, like, also we get that, we do get a bit of that lighthearted silliness to him where he, you know, and, like, that's there in season one and two as well, but it's never to the point where he's a clown. And he's a straight-up clown.
What's your
in season
worst
three?
Moment, if you could think of one, in season three with him? Like, what do you think? Yeah, or worst like most moment. Out of character moment, if you can pinpoint one.
I have one.
What do you got?
Devin's got one.
I have one. I mean, I don't know that it's just because my whole problem with Hop this season is I feel like he doesn't have his priorities like straightened out. Like, there's stuff happening with the kids. There's stuff happening clearly with Russia and everything, and he's just gonna hold this like, oh well, you stood me up on a date.
Oh wow, this is happening
Whole time while all of this is happening over Joyce's head. So okay, priorities. So the part that bothers me a lot is when they have Alexi, he's like tied to a tree or whatever. Joyce is trying to talk to him and like communicate with him, and Hopper's freaking out about it. At like, I
And it's working.
And it's working. Like, Joyce is actually getting through. And then Alexei has noticed that the car is, like...
Gonna explode.
And he's trying to tell him to stop. And, like, Joyce is trying to tell him that Alexei is... And he's like, no, blah, blah. And the car freaking explodes. Yeah. Like, pay attention to your surroundings. Stop being all in your head about the fact that, oh, Joyce stood me up for my date.
But what if...
And, like, think about the task at hand.
Love is his kryptonite. What if love is his kryptonite? It makes him foolish. It makes him lose his reason, his ability to be a hero. What can we say about that?
I like the NPR voice that you're putting on.
Jazz plus jazz equals jazz.
Before we get into that, I think I have my
worst moment,
most hated Hopper moment. Earlier in the season when they're investigating the lab, when Joyce has finally convinced him, look, something is going on. Let's go to the lab. And this is putting aside the fact that he was adamant that there's nothing happening at the lab, like all this weird shit's going on, and you're going to tell me the lab isn't your first thought? Like, really, dude? Really? After everything you've been through, for real? So they're there, and he's just being a complete piece of shit while we're there. He's like a broody teenager, like, I don't even want to be here. Why am I here? Like, kicking at the floor and being like, it's so, demeaning to the character.
That. Like,
And then he gets jumped by Russian Terminator. He
tries to guilt Joyce into staying in Hawkins.
Yeah.
He's, like, thinking about moving, and he's like, oh, well, everything that you know is
exactly
here, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, she lost everything. Like,
and this isn't exactly the safest place for her kids.
Right. This is not a safe place for her kids. She's literally back at the lab where the last person that she loved was killed in front of her, and you're going to tell her that, like, she needs to stay? No.
And even on top of that, you should not have taken Russian Terminator to kind of convince him, like, oh shit, something's happening. Like, yeah,
exactly. It's just the callousness. Yeah, like, I feel like the heart of Hopper as a character is gruff exterior with a caring heart, and when he's little bitch boy all gruff, no care, that's not Hopper. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I still think I could just argue that, like, his when it comes to, like, how he feels about Joyce or, like, how to raise 11, that's just where he just collapses. That's like the only thing I can give it.
The stuff with 11 doesn't bother me as much.
The whole thing with him. Even the whole thing with him and Mike in the car, because that feels very cartoony.
Oh, it's very cartoony, but it's cartoony in a place where it's a new dad dealing with his adoptive daughter. And if we're gonna get cartoony, that's where it's gonna happen. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I will defend Hopper in this moment. Mike was being a little
asshole.
Mike was being a dick. So, Hopper's anger was warranted in that moment.
Just locks him in the car.
So, yeah, I think. Yeah, that didn't bother me. Like, that was silly in a way that would still work within the character.
All right. So, I was going to bring up a character. We don't have to go, like, super, super into it.
No, go for it.
Especially because she gets a lot more growth in the next season. But what are you guys thinking about Max this season? Because she kind of annoyed me a little bit towards the beginning. Just like with, corrupting 11 or making her independent. That whole thing just seemed a little... It seemed to get just about a little bit annoying, but it didn't frustrate me. And then, like...
My thought.
I was just going to say that she is in the beginning of the season, this is like, oh shit, Max, dude. Like, I don't know.
So, yeah, we had talked about Max a little bit before. Basically, like, she wasn't friends with 11 before this season, So, like, she's seeing her as, she's still seeing her as, like, that, like,
superhero. Yeah.
Whereas everybody else has already seen Eleven's, like, you know, not superhero side. Her not using her powers and her, you know, just kind of being regular. So, you know, what I think about, like, how, you know, when Mike's trying to get her to rest and she's, like, pushing her and everything, it's because she hasn't seen her not, she hasn't seen her be down yet. She's only ever seen her be able to, like, do these, use her powers.
Yeah.
The time. I feel like
Max is putting Eleven up on a pedestal through.
I feel like it's not until Eleven gets hurt that she's like, oh, maybe I should back off a little bit. And then we also have some questions regarding Max at the end of the season as well. And I'm interested in, like, in your thoughts on it too. So the end of season three, it's like the big action stuff and with Billy dying, that happens on the 4th of July. And then it goes to 3 months later. So we're now in October, which means that they're already in high school. So they've already started at Hawkins High, which is where they are in season four. But Max seems fine. She's hanging out with them. She's laughing.
She and Lucas are ribbon dusting for the song.
They're like buddy buddy or whatever. And then jump to season four, which season four takes place in March. So that's like 5 months after everything. Like, what happened in that 5 month period for her to completely abandon them all? Is it just because she doesn't have Eleven anymore? Like, the timeline for us is kind of like, what made you
I mean,
remove
it, you know,
yourself? Because I feel like she would have started removing herself sooner. You know what I mean? Like
if this was really having to deal with the guilt building up about Billy's death and, like, her, you know, wanting him to die, it's kind of silly that she'd be there hanging out with Lucas and making fun of Dustin for singing Neverending Story. Like, to me, it spoke to me as like a flaw in the writing where I don't think they realized who they need Max to be in the next season
just
yet.
Died.
I mean, there is a shot of her like on her bed, like.
Yeah, but that's
morose,
like immediately.
But that's
after.
Right after. Well, no, that's after they leave, like Eleven and all.
Yeah,
leaves. So like that, you can just chalk up to like
now,
her best friend.
Then clear up the timeline,
you know,
a little
what
bit.
I mean?
When does? Because this is where you guys would definitely know these details more than I would. Because my whole interpretation of why she's so abruptly miserable in the beginning of season three, I mean four. When does she get Vecna'd? Doesn't that have something to do with it? Because like.
It's so, already
and
happening.
And how far ahead
point.
Is that supposed to be from where,
like,
season three ends?
So season three ends in October of 1985. And season four starts in March of 1986. So it's 5 months.
Yeah. All I can think of is like, okay, she was all right with it. She was accepting it,
so,
you know, during the end of season three. And then whenever, like, Vecna hits or whatever, that's when she's in her Kate Bush headphones phase, ignoring everybody phase. I don't know. Aside from bad writing, I feel like, well, like maybe that's how you would look at it. Even if you want to be like, oh, the stages of grief, like she's kind of in denial closer to the end of season three, and then she's kind of getting more and more depressed up until season four.
And I think she does mention that she's been kind of having like the headaches and stuff for like a week prior to when stuff
when
starts
to
happen
counselor.
In season four.
But Vecna targets people who are already vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
so she's
whole
already vulnerable because of the Billy situation.
But,
and he's
but,
directly
right.
tied
so
to the Billy
you
situation.
Think it,
but we're not seeing
that's what I'm
that
saying.
At the
yeah,
end
there,
of season
there should
three.
Have definitely been at least just to make things more exciting.
Mm-hmm.
and like to tie it all into four and how she is in the beginning of four, if we had like a hint of that, like that he's slowly kind of working his way in.
Or like, you know, when Lucas is making fun of Dustin, instead of her joining in, just have her be like distracted. And then like when, you know, like rib her shoulder or something, right. Like, oh yeah. Like show us that she's not completely herself before the season ends.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
But she is like she is already tied to the Vecna situation because we've concluded, that Vecna was a big player in season three. We just weren't aware of it.
We don't know when he started trying to make the portals though exactly. So
yeah,
it's I don't think he's messing with her head at that point.
No, probably.
But he could be.
Yeah.
It could be.
Time frame we don't see. Possibly.
Maybe. I don't think so. Because if he was, that would have mean he'd gotten to Chrissy's head well before that. Mm-hmm. Because they kind of get killed in the order that he's been messing with them. And Max kind of skips her turn, and that's why he gets to the next kid.
Well, he's got to wait until Eleven's out of the picture, too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, he doesn't have to wait until Eleven's out of the picture. They just figure out how to beat him. Like, with the music.
No, I know, but he starts his, like, Eleven's no longer in
Hollywood. Oh, you mean, yeah. No, that's a good point.
His reign.
That's a very good point.
He knows she's the only one that could beat him.
So were there any other characters this season that we feel like we should probably, Erica. Like, talk about a little? We're almost at an hour already.
I know. We've just done, Erica. Like, a character
Erica's
dive.
Erica's great. Erica's best character this season.
Erica.
I love Erica. Erica's fantastic. She's just perfect. I love her so much. You can't spell America without Erica.
Dusty's face. Like, wait, is it him or is it Steve after she says that? It is Dustin. Yeah.
No, it's Dustin. It's Dustin. And he's like, he looks really incredulous. And he's like, wait, no, she's right.
Her opening line but I love season it, like, is so good. Good.
Oh my god. Isn't it time you died?
That I had to go back when I started. I was like, wait a minute. Oh yeah, great.
Like he says something that's like, you know, so typical big brother, like, isn't it past your bedtime? Isn't it time you died? Like, ooh.
Perfect.
We're gonna need some ice for that burn, Steve.
Like she's just that's okay. You know what? Like she's got like it kind of I guess goes against what I was saying earlier about Robin in season four. But like I feel like it makes sense for Erica. You know, like they're just introducing her with like all this sass. Right.
But she's also a kid, so like you get away with that a lot more easily.
Yeah, she's only supposed to be 11 in season 4.
But even that, like in season four, I feel like they kind of tone it down a little bit. Like she takes the situation a lot seriously, kind of just chiming in here and there with attitude.
She does take it seriously.
But her intro into the club.
Yeah, her intro with Eddie is essentially the same thing that she gives Murray, that same little bit of sass that she gives to Eddie. She's
my name
just
is
like,
Lady Applejack. Like, I'm a level 20 rogue.
She's all you bald whatever. I'm 11, you long-haired freak. Like, it's this, like, it's, she just doesn't care.
She's awesome.
You know what? I think, I don't want to jump ahead too much, but I'm torn between, I guess, episode 4 of this season, but I think episode 1 of season 4 might be my favorite episode. If I'm going to delete. Because I really like the, I don't want to get too far ahead, but the Max episode, I think it's episode 4. Season 4. But yeah.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Season Dear Billy.
Dear Billy, yeah.
Nothing can touch that episode.
The episode 1 of season 4 got me like back into the show. Because remember I gave up after season 2 and then I saw most of episode 1 of season 4 and I was like, what have I been missing? This is so good. And there's just so many good sequences in it that it like made me want to watch season 3 and finish it.
I feel like we kind of had the same thing. Like, we didn't watch it. We didn't watch season 4 as soon as it came out. Like, it was already mm-hmm. out for, like, a week or so. And we were like, oh, hey, yeah, maybe we should maybe should watch it.
We were also in a different place in season three. We have a kid.
Right. And we were living at my parents.
Yeah.
But like it wasn't on our radar that like Stranger Things had started. So you're like, yeah, I mean, we've watched every season. Let's watch this one. And we were like immediately hooked, and it didn't matter that like the episodes were, movie length for all of them.
it just has so much going for it.
It definitely helped keep your interest, like, because they all just kept building and building.
So, as far as season three is concerned, it's still my least favorite season, but after rewatching, it's not like I don't feel the way I did before. I don't feel like it's below everything else. I still recognize the stuff I didn't like about it, but I am filled with a new appreciation for the season. If there's one thing I can say for it, that it absolutely did a million times better than season two. At no point did the pacing just completely fall off the show.
That's all you would put it above season two is the pacing?
Monster design, because I love the monsters in season three.
It is Stranger Things.
Even though I kind of feel like the battle... It is. Although I feel like the Battle of Starkiller actually went on for way too
God.
Long. Or, not that it went on for too long.
It didn't go on for too long. There was too many cuts.
Too many things were happening that weren't the Battle at Star Court.
Yeah.
And it kept taking me out of it. Like, I wanted to get back to what was going on with the monster.
We really wanted what was happening.
Thing and then lead it up to Star Court. And
stop cutting. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Stop cutting to Dustin and then cutting to Hop fighting Russian Terminator. I don't care right now. The monster is attacking people, and I want
to
see that.
I'll give that to you for sure. I don't know. I have the most fun with the season. I love the monster design. I love Erica. I love Murray. There's a lot of stuff going on this season that I'm just all about.
Rats. No, I get it. I really do. I think my whole thing with season two is that, like, if I pretend that the side episode that where they tried to backdoor pilot new characters is, if I just pretend that's not there, then I really don't have any issues with season two.
I still do.
Yeah?
Season two is the weakest season. I don't like, this isn't my favorite season, but I definitely put it above season two.
So what makes you feel that way? Like, what brings down season two if we ignore eight?
It's kind of boring, isn't it? Like, not much happens.
Yeah. It doesn't... And, like, when... The only thing that I have an interest in season two is the stuff that happens with Will.
That's the only thing that I remember, really.
That's the only thing... That's the only thing that really keeps my interest. Like, when we rewatched season two, I forgot about Eleven running away to try to find her mom and stuff like that. Because that wasn't, I mean, to me, that was, like, we always talk about stakes and stuff. And, like, the stakes were so high with what was going on with Will that I was just like, yeah, like, this is so interesting. And then... we would get to, like, this peak with Will, and then we would go back to, like, 11 on a bus. And I'm like, I don't...
So that
I'm
calls,
not interested in this.
That calls back to the pacing issues, definitely.
Like, the pacing season but two like, sucks.
But, like, take a second to step back, though. Remember, season two is also where we get Dustin and Steve hanging out together for the first time, and that carries through the entire season. We also get the Demodogs, which are great. Like, the entire... Every episode featuring the Demodogs was good.
But that's... So, the stuff with Dustin and Steve and Dart, it's like a side thing. Like, a side quest. Whereas, like, I feel like the Will and the Eleven stuff, they kind of try to make it, like, this is what the season is about. And I don't care about the Eleven stuff. You can put the Dustin and Steve stuff up with the main plot with Will, and I'd be good. I don't care about 11 in season 2.
So then if we're comparing the weakest plot lines of each season, the weakest plot line of season 2 is obviously the 11 plot line. The weakest plot line of season 3 is Bitch Boy Hopper and the Russian Terminator.
I don't like the demigods, but they did Bob dirty. That wasn't fair. That wasn't cool.
They did do Bob dirty.
No, it isn't. But it's so good.
He just
good.
Stopped That's dead in his tracks. Ooh, yes, it ooh, is. Ooh, and he dies.
No, we...
That was intentional.
That was intentional.
Oh, Bob did that
he
on purpose.
He was sacrificing himself so that they could
yes,
out.
He was.
Absolutely was.
Because if he ran towards Joyce, the dog would have attacked all of them.
He would have attacked everybody. So he stopped. He gave her one last look and was like, okay, I'm doing this. And he that's what he did.
That was intentional.
If he did not do that, they would not have gotten out.
Just got a little half-assed to me. I didn't think it was blatantly clear that he was sacrificing himself. I think it was more just like, hi, Joyce. I'm trying to compare it to like a much better.
Oh hi.
Yeah, like, literally.
I'm just gonna stop.
Like,
oh, hi.
You know those moments where it's just like Joyce. The character turns around and looks at the person that they're like sacrificing themselves for, and it's like, no, what's? Oh, damn it! I know I'm.
That's there. That's right there. It's in the episode.
No, because she like she doesn't yell. He stops and turns, and she's like. She, like, smiles, like, Bob! And then he turns around and Demodogs.
But he doesn't look surprised.
Maybe he's just...
No, he's not
he
surprised
knows
at the Demodogs.
He
just
knows...
wasn't thinking. I don't know. No, you guys are probably right.
I don't know, man.
I see it. I get
it.
It one way
I get the
head.
Interpretation. I do. I can see
it.
That ruining it.
I just can't unsee it.
No, if that's how you're approaching it, I can absolutely see that ruining it.
Yeah. How's it going?
Oh, man. But yeah, I don't know. I have a lot of fun with this season. But the next season is a roller coaster.
It's fair. I'm
so excited to rewatch. This will be our third rewatch, but like... Because now we have to...
Fifth or sixth for certain episodes. Because there's some episodes we watch multiple times.
I've watched parts.
We watched Dear Billy like 4 times, hon.
We watched the end of Dear Billy so many times because it's just so good. But where I'm interested to see where we're going to go with this. Because the whole idea of our podcast... when we started was like, let's tie into season 4, and now we're in season 4, so it's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
Gonna be fun.
And then when we finish season 4, we'll get through the last of like the interstitial books and media of Stranger Things, and then when we finish that, I guess we'll do the few of us.
The few of us.
Or the couple of us podcast.
Oh. I haven't watched any of that yet, as you know.
Oh, well.
You should. It's very good.
Yeah,
unless you wanted to play
thing.
The game
wanna,
first. That's up to
at
you.
At least touch the game first.
Yeah. As soon as it goes on sale, like, as soon as there's a decent sale, I'm going to grab the PS5 version.
I suggest it, because if I hadn't watched him play any of it, my stress levels would be a whole lot higher than
they
were.
Oh, yeah, but
I want
the stress levels.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the stress levels were great, but they were like, some episodes are like, ha!
How them Duke boys gonna get out of this one?
But this isn't the Last of Us podcast.
Precisely.
This is
not
a Stranger Things podcast.
We are a collective. We're the Hawkins Hellfire collective.
True.
Doesn't mean we can't talk about other things.
True. So is there anything else that we want to talk about for season 3, the wrap-up that just kind of became a character discussion?
Honestly, I think that was the best way to go about talking about season 3.
Yeah.
I feel good. I feel like we hit all the major points that we wanted to discuss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to talk about
He's
Billy because I'll just get angry.
Yeah.
He is.
I mean, Matt, was there anything any particular thoughts or feelings you had around Billy that you wanted to get off your desk?
Now's the time to play. Now's the time to say this is a safe space.
In season three, I still saw him this way. He just came across like an antagonist that needed to die. I'm glad that they gave him a nice little. I'm glad that they made him like the villain, tied him into the villain of the season, so that they could kill him off in an epic way. I do not like Billy. He's a piece of shit. I do not like him at all. I think he's a fun villain to watch, but that's about it. So I think I think they tied him up great.
Yeah, like okay. that actor did an amazing job of making him as hateable as possible.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we have to say.
He's like a little Joffrey, yeah. You know, here. He's a piece of shit to Max. He's a piece of shit to everybody, even Mrs. Wheeler, that wonderful woman. No, not Mrs. Wheeler. No. Wheeler? What's her face? Mrs.
He saves her.
Yeah, Mrs. Wheeler. Yeah.
Mike's mom?
He stands her up.
No.
So he...
Because he got laid?
Taken by the... And he was on his
wedding. Yeah, he was very excited.
She was going to stand him up.
And then when she tries to talk to him about it, like, you get that little scene of him bashing her head in, and then it cuts back to reality, and he's like, you need to leave.
Yeah, because
like, he thinks he's going to do something.
Shocking. Oh, yeah, Billy doesn't want to hurt someone.
Well, she's not blind or a child, so.
Right.
That's the thing, is like, the way they introduce him, he's like, he is a very hateful bastard, like, with no redemption.
Right, and that's why I have such a problem with, like, all the people who are all, like, I don't have a problem, let me rephrase, I don't have a problem with the people who are all about Billy. I don't understand their reasoning, because it's like, did you just forget that he was, like, super racist and attacked a 13-year-old boy because he was,
and tried to run them over with his car?
He's only
your favorite character and the only one who backed because you would think he's hot. Like, that's it. Like, you can't just base your whole character, like, your favorite character on if they're hot or not. Like, it doesn't work. Like, okay, like, not. I would love to argue with you, Devin, about a certain character that comes in season three, I mean four, about that.
That's
but not... at least he's a good character, so I give you the benefit of the doubt.
There's...
Yeah,
Billy's just got a lot of depth.
Piece of shit, other than he's hot. That's it.
And, like... And they shoehorn some depth into Billy at the very end.
Yeah.
And, like, I get it. Like, it creates an understanding for how he turned out the way he did.
No, not at all.
But it doesn't excuse any of it.
No, it's not excusable. And it's a last-minute apology to Max. And, you know, I'm glad you saved everybody. But...
No, it's good that you were able to... You know, recognize your own shittiness and say something to your sister before you died.
Yeah.
That is the most he could have asked for, and I'm glad he got that.
Yeah,
but that doesn't change.
It doesn't change anything else that he did.
And on that happy note.
Bye, Billy.
Yeah.
Bye, Billy. We'll see you next season where you get to be a horrible nightmare monster.
A horrible nightmare monster, exactly. But that's the best episode of the season.
It is. All right. Okay. So I think we've pretty much wrapped up all. Yeah, this was a good time. We've wrapped up our topics. Unless anybody has any final notes, I say we do our sign off.
Yeah, I'm pretty satisfied.
Matt,
are you satisfied?
I still stand by where I was at the beginning. Love this season. It's not perfect. But it's fun, and that's why I love it.
No, and your way of thinking about season three did bring me around somewhat. It's still bottom tier in my list, but not nearly as much as it was previously.
So,
all right. So, signing off.
I'm Devin Grubb.
I'm Zach Grubb.
I'm Matt.
You are.
He pointed at the screen like you could see her.
I am Matt.
All right. Dusty Buns gets it done.